The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites. The Six Nations Show on OTB Sports Radio.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
It's spinning! It's spinning!
Updates, analysis and opinion across all OTB channels from start to finish.
Gone on it!
I've never seen a team like Ireland before.
This is OTB Sports Radio.
OTB Sports Radio, The Six Nations Show.
Yes, good morning to you all, and you're very welcome back to a new season of The Six Nations Show here on OTB Sports. I'm Neil Tracy, and I'll be coming to you Thursday mornings every game week at 10:30 during the course of this tournament, looking back and forward to the weekend's games with analysis, opinion and a bit of fun along the way as well. We are streaming live at the moment and available to watch or listen on the OTB Sports app across YouTube, Facebook and all of our social channels as well. We want you to get involved in the conversation as well, so get the comments into us and we'll be sure to bring them up during the show, wherever you're watching them, particularly YouTube. Get your comments into us. How can Ireland stop Antoine Dupont and win against France this week at the Aviva Stadium? Who were your week one Lions bolters? And are Scotland back, not just back after their win against England last week? This week with me, I have two wingers with me to look ahead to the game against France. Former Ireland international Alison Miller and former Munster and Leicester Tigers winger Johnny Murphy. Good morning, folks. How are you doing today?
Good. Good morning, everyone.
Good now.
Johnny, we had you with us here on Sunday, watching through the game, giving the live updates throughout it. Have you had time since to look back on it and kind of have your opinions changed much on the game against Wales? Or is it just as disappointing, the result, I suppose, because at times the performance was actually almost there, but is it just as disappointing to watch it all over again?
I think so. There's a huge amount of positivity coming from their performance, given what happened with Omani earlier on. But I think to get in the position where they have an opportunity to win it and then not even, you know, not get that, I think that's the most frustrating thing. But for me, it was certainly a step forward in their performances. And I think someone being sent off early, it kind of goes into your mindset and everyone is a bit on edge and they're trying to do stuff at 100 miles an hour all the time because they feel they have to make up for, you know, they've to do the work of 1.5 men to try and that kind of seeped into their discipline throughout the game. And I suppose that'll be one of their main focuses this week in camp.
Alison, Johnny said there, like, at times it feels like, you know, for a player when you're down to 14, sometimes it feels like you have to do the work of 1.5 men. One of the plus points for Ireland at times was Tadhg Byrne actually did play like he was doing the work of 1.5 men out there.
Yeah, he was really excellent. And when you reflect back on his performance, I think he was right up there with tackles with CJ. He had some beautiful passes. He got some lovely tip-on passes away. He carried loads. He carried really effectively. He got his try. I just think he was really, really good across the pitch. And it's wondering, I suppose, this week, you know, where he fits in. There's an argument to put him at 6 because of a man he's lost. But I thought he was really excellent. And I think he brought that physicality, his accuracy at the breakdown. He got 2 turnovers. I think he got a jackal and he got a rip. So it's great to see him performing really well, I suppose. There's been questions asked why he's not in the team before, but I think he really showed his worth this week or last weekend and played really, really well.
Johnny, we'll probably go further into Ireland, obviously, throughout the course of this, but just in general, week one, I think if you were maybe someone in Australia or New Zealand watching the Six Nations, so a complete neutral to all of this, you're picking out a Wales win against Ireland and a Scotland win against England as being perfect for the neutral to just set things up over the course of the next 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, or you probably look at it where it all plays into France's hands, really.
Isn't that what the neutral wants, though, France?
I think in general, they given their performances and how they've expanded their defensive system and the buy-in that they've got from Sean Edwards, I think that's, you know, for me, they were favourites beforehand. And, you know, it does set up this weekend particularly, which is probably one of their tougher assignments in the competition to see what they're really made of. But yeah, I think from a neutral perspective, it really is, it's set up for France to kick on.
Yeah, it certainly is, Alison, and we'll get into France a little bit more as well. Even on Wales, when I was looking back to the reaction afterwards, like it was Gethin Jenkins who made the good point, part of the Welsh coaching team, that he was being asked about the commitment of his players, and it was absolutely huge because they made close to 200 tackles. Like, you had quite a few players making 20 plus, and he kind of had to make the point that, you know, when you have 15 against 14 for three quarters, more even, of the match, it's not really a good thing to have to be making 200 tackles.
No, and I suppose Ireland dominated the territory in possession. So that really shows, I suppose, you know, what a defensive, or how much of a defensive display that Wales put in. But I think, you know, we're reflecting back on the game and, you know, they were under that much pressure, but they ultimately came out with the win. I think they'll be happy with that. I think at the moment, Wales are quite, not to be tough on them, but I think they're quite an average side, and I think they will struggle this weekend. But for them, under the pressure that they were under with their losses and new management, that they'll be happy with that win regardless of that, whether they had, you know, an extra man and how many tackles they had to make, because they, at the end of the day, they got the win. But yeah, it's something that they won't be, I suppose, too happy with, that they had to make so many tackles. But I suppose it puts faith in their defensive system as well, that they got the win. I think, you know, for Ireland, you know, as Johnny said, there was a lot of positives. And I think for me, one of the positives was seeing how well Keenan played. I think he's like a really, really good fullback. He reminds me in a sense of Kearney, that he's quite low risk. He doesn't make too many mistakes. And he seems to just be able to do the right thing and make the right decision and make the right call at the big moments. He seems to have an ability as well, I think, to, he's very evasive. He seems to get through tackles quite easily. And he was a real positive for me, because I think there was obviously huge question marks over who was going to, you know, take on the fullback role. Was it going to be, you know, Larmour? Then it was Stockdale. I think they really found the right pick. But I think also a huge positive for us against Wales was, you know, our centre partnership. I think Henshaw is playing some really, really good rugby at the moment. You know, his footwork, his leg drive for Ireland's try just showed, you know, how well he's playing. He's obviously brilliant both sides of the ball, but I think he's coming into rich vein form at the moment. And see him partner up with Ringrose, to me, that's our best partnership now. I think there was a little bit of, I suppose, question marks, who's our best partnership? But I think Ringrose and Henshaw together at the weekend, to me, kind of proves that that's our best partnership. But for Wales, yeah, like they'll have a test this weekend. I think, you know, for Scotland, getting that big win over England, I think they've been knocking at the door many times and people will question them now. But I think for Scotland, they've got to back up their performance over England this weekend and show what they're made of, because, you know, they've showed, you know, I suppose, spells of great rugby in the past. But for them to be, you know, a contender in the Six Nations, they got to go and back it up and bring that back down, that emotion from last week, and get into the right place again.
Johnny, just before we move on to talk about Johnny Sexton, someone, Alison, mentioned there, Hugo Keenan. Like, when we would have seen him break through in the more important games with Leinster at the tail end of last season, and then getting his chance with Ireland, it was generally on the wing, despite the fact that he played kind of the bulk of his rugby for Leinster up until then at full back. But probably since Christmas, we're seeing him being played at full back a lot more for Leinster, and starting with Ireland at in the 15 shirt the other day. He certainly looks a natural full back in there, doesn't he?
Yeah, massively. And I think completely agree with what Alison just said. I think it's also his work rate off the ball in attack to, you know, pick up inside trail lines off 9 and 10. He's very active. He seems to have a really big engine because he's always on the go. He's covering a huge amount of space in the backfield defensively, but then on turnover or when he gets, you know, when he gets the opportunity, he's just so active off the ball. I think he could be the, you know, the long term, you know, that could be his jersey long term. If he continues the way he's going, he's been really, really impressive for me.
He certainly has. Now, want to talk about Johnny Sexton, because he made some pretty probably important comments yesterday, because his availability for this weekend's game remains unclear. He's following the return to play protocols at the moment for the head injury he picked up with around 13 minutes to go in that defeat to Wales. On that injury, during the week, a French neurologist, Dr. Jean-Francois Sherman, who ordered Sexton to be stood down for 12 weeks back in 2015 while he was playing for Racing 92, told French broadcaster RMC Sport that he believed the fly half had sustained as many as 30 concussions during his career. Now, that prompted this response from an obviously furious Johnny Sexton yesterday.
Yeah, I'm pretty saddened and shocked by the inaccurate reports that were thrown out yesterday, I think it was. We've been here before, Michael, and it's very frustrating. And you know, for me, I just think it's totally inappropriate that a doctor that I have seen many years ago now felt it was appropriate to come out and talk to whoever it was and say those things. It's inaccurate and highly inappropriate, and I'm pretty disappointed. But for me, I'm so used to it that it's almost like water off a duck's back to me. But for my wife and mum and stuff like that, it's very very upsetting. But that's the world we live in, and I don't really want to talk too much more about it. Like I said, it was inaccurate, and just gotta focus on this week and the return to play. If I don't pass one of those stages, I won't play. If I do pass them, well, then I'll be fit to play, and whether I play or not is down to the coaches then, and that's the way we've always done it, and I trust the medicals guys here. They look after us incredibly well, and I will continue to trust them.
Now, Dr. Jean-Francois Sherman has since apologised for those comments. He says, regarding my interview on Sexton, I did not want to talk about 30 concussions, but concussions and sub-concussions. And if you ask most rugby players, they will tell you they have also suffered numerous concussions in their career, which moreover are hardly ever declared. For Sexton, we can therefore absolutely not speak of 30 concussions. I should not have cited this figure without any explanation, and I regret the damage I've done to the player who was my patient and whom I respect more than anything. Johnny, whether he was correct or not, and it seems according to Johnny Sexton that he was not correct, it does seem pretty unacceptable for a doctor to be speaking so publicly about that.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing here. There's a, you know, patient confidentiality attached to that, and it's no one else's business what's gone on between them. I do feel sorry for Johnny, because it seems to be a consistent thing that chases him around. And as he said, he's probably used to it. It's part of the professional game now that people can throw these things out. You know, you look at you know, Conor Murray when he was out for that sustained period of time. I think he you know, there was all sorts of rumours around him, and it's unfair, but I think your family are the people that probably would be the most worried about it. As Johnny said, and I think that's the most important thing, he gets looked after. They're world-class medical staff looking after all the Irish internationals and in the provinces, and I think it's really important that that is, you know, that is at the forefront of this. And if Johnny wasn't fit to play, he wouldn't play, and that's for Leinster, for Ireland, at any stage. He wouldn't even train if he wasn't fit to play. And I think that's really, really important to remember in all of this.
And Alison, I think, like, particularly reckless, given just the type of injury he's talking about. Like, he's not talking about a sprained ankle or, you know, a bruised hip or something like that. This is concussion has been a major talking point in rugby for months, if not years now at this stage.
Yeah, like, it's a very serious thing to be talking about and putting out claims like that. And I think obviously he was very unprofessional to do that, considering that Johnny had been his patient. But I think sometimes as athletes, people think they can talk about them how they like, where they wouldn't do that with a normal person. They wouldn't disclose, you know, their medical opinion about people. But I think everyone thinks they can say what they like or have access to, you know, people, athletes, and can say what they like. And I think it's a contentious issue, because all this week now you have people on social media, this, that, and the other, saying, oh, he shouldn't play, you know. But like Johnny said, you know, we have to, and we do, we trust the medical people within the Irish team to make the right decisions. They have a duty of care to make the right decisions as doctors and medics, and they do, and they will make it. So, you know, I think it was quite upsetting. Johnny said, you know, it's like water off duck's back for him, but like his wife and his mother have to listen to that in the media, and they're potentially worried, and he's probably at the stage now, luckily, where his kids are too young to understand that. But I think sometimes, you know, that's a French doctor coming out as well. Like, it's not, it's interesting as well. It's not an English doctor. It's not a, you know, a Scottish doctor. It just happens to be the French doctor, a French doctor coming out and saying that as well. So, you know, it's a very serious issue. And you wonder then, is he trying to, I don't know, get into Johnny's head then as well, which is also inappropriate because of the serious issue of it as well. So, but as Johnny said, and I totally agree, you know, those professionals, they will not put him out on the pitch if he's not right to play. So like Johnny can just trust in his professionals and they will make the right decision. It's taken out. That's the great thing about these protocols nowadays. It's taken out of players' hands. You know, you can't argue. You don't worry. You listen to your professionals. And I think, you know, Johnny said at the end of that press conference, like, you know, he didn't want to talk about it because he was accused before of maybe giving too much detail and not looking after, thinking about the younger members of the squad. So, look, all Johnny can concentrate on this week is, you know, preparing for the game, and the medics will make the right decisions. But, you know, it is bad that I think the doctor came out and said that, and, you know, patient doctor confidentiality then is also, you know, it's not adhered to there. So, yeah, it's disappointing.
Johnny, from your own playing days, is the level of information that is available to everyone on your own physical well-being, is that an issue amongst players?
I don't know. I think, look, it's part of the, you know, it's part of the press conference every week. They have injury updates. You know, it's just a balancing act, really. It's to try and make sure that there is some information, but all information isn't necessarily shared. And I think you've seen that with the likes of, you know, when Jamie Heaslip was coming towards the end, he was very clear that he didn't want certain things said. Same with, you know, and it just, it's perfectly within your own right. I think on the concussion issue, there's been a massive shift from when I probably started playing, you know, over in England in 2005 to when I was finishing up in 15. You know, sometimes if you got a knock, it was like, come on, get on your grad. As in, you know, that was your own viewpoint. And fine, it's just a bit of a buzz, away we go. Where now there's a complete shift from that in players' perspective, but also the people you're playing with. People are looking out to see if someone picked up something, and, you know, it's brought to the attention of the professionals very, very swiftly. So I think we've come a long, long way. And stuff like this just throws, you know, it under the spotlight again, where, you know, we have to trust the medical people and make sure that, you know, that trust is there. And that for me is the most important. I've said it already. They're experts in their field, and there would be no way that anyone would even train, never mind play, if they weren't in the right order.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose we'll find out on Friday if Sexton's named in the team, and still has one more part of that return to play protocol to come. But the Ireland-France game this coming Sunday. And if Ireland are to win this Sunday at the Aviva Stadium, they will have to put the shackles on Antoine Dupont. The French scrum half scored a try in the 50-10 win against Italy, but he also assisted four others along the way. Conor Murray says Ireland need to find the balance between stopping Dupont while also not making him the sole focus.
He's flying it. To be honest, you know, he had a massive game last weekend against Italy, and, you know, we can't afford to give him that space. And I suppose defending a nine that's in form like that, you know, if you concentrate solely on him, then you know, it brings other players into the game. So, you know, we know, you know, we've a huge task this weekend against a really good French side. We've been here before. We've played teams with threats all over the park, which France do. You know, at out half, you know, with guys like Teddy Thomas on the wing, you know, with genuine pace, and you know, they can hurt you from anywhere. So, with that amount of threats, you know, we really got to focus on ourselves. You know, in defence, you know, focus on our on what we can do, the speed of ball they get. You know, our how solid we are around the ruck, things like that that we need to focus on, and look at ourselves first, and you know, and then obviously have an awareness of the threats that they do have, in DuPont and Jalibert and players like that. And if we get our stuff right, then you know, looking after them becomes an awful lot easier. But you said it, it's a huge task. We've been here before. You know, we put in a performance this weekend, and you know, hopefully the result goes our way. It's suddenly you know, the conversation has a completely different tone to it. So you know, that's the lads of, you know, the training we had there today was really, really good. Players weren't feeling sorry for themselves at all. I think that has to do with how, you know, how promising we felt in Cardiff. So you know, lads are enjoying their work, and you know, hopefully you'll see that on Sunday.
Alison, as Conor Murray explains there, it's not really just as simple as stopping Antoine Dupont, because if you put all your attention onto him, there are a half dozen lads across that team that can punish you dearly.
Yeah, like, they've obviously a hugely balanced team. They've got, you know, the forwards that can play in the tight, and they've got guys with good footwork, and you know, their back line is you know, very dangerous. But I think France's attack, he is the lifeline of France's attack, and I think he's so important in their attack that, you know, everything comes off him. And I think it's important that Ireland do try and nullify the threat that is Antoine Dupont. He's probably like the best player in the world at the moment. He seems to be the full package. So I think, you know, trying, as Murray said there, trying to slow down his ball. He thrives off quick ball. Our interior defence is going to be really important, because as we've seen many times, Dupont will look to snipe around that ruck. So, you know, our defensive integrity around the interior there is going to be really, really important. But I think, like, we do need to suffocate him, because if we can, like, you know, prevent him from getting to the ruck, like, a second later, he is so good at, you know, his support lines, his trail lines, that if we can put him on the ground, like, irritate him and not let him get to those support lines, you know, a second or two later, or getting to that ruck and slowing down his ball, I think is key, because he is pivotal to their attack. And I think, yes, they have so many threats around the field, but if we can slow down his ball, not give him options, as many options, and just, you know, irritate him, suffocate him, you know, try and take him out of the game where we can, I think it will affect France's attack. But yes, you know, he's only one player on the team, but he's a very important part of that team. Obviously, they have huge threats around the field, but I think, you know, his delivery and his service at nine is so important, the way they play. But I just think he, sometimes a player is that good, you know. So if we can stop the threat, and as I said, you know, slow down his options, take away his options, irritate him, put him on the ground, take him out of the game, I think we have a better chance of stopping the other players within the French team.
Johnny, this is probably a difficult one to answer, because I imagine if the answer was readily available, every single team in the world would be doing it. But how is a player like him able to be one of the first getting to every ruck, obviously because he's a scrum half, but also at the same time being able to find himself almost on the shoulder of every single line break that's happening around the pitch?
I think it's his anticipation as to where the ball is going to be, his vision around, and his knowledge around the attacking system, around who's going to break, when they break, and that potential is massive. And I think he is probably the best in the world at the moment, and he's consistently the best in the world. It's very hard to change up, you know, to mark him without potentially changing up your whole system, particularly when you're looking at those support lines. Ireland have a 13-2 defensive system where they try and bring line speed, and they probably, you know, where you can look at changing and going to a 12-1-2 with someone in behind the ruck and trying to chase him on those support lines, like a kind of man marking job. But you're changing your whole system in the matter of a matter of three or four training sessions. So it's really difficult to to do. But I think what Alisson said is really important, trying to swarm him in and around the ruck. If you have an opportunity to tackle him, make sure that you're on your feet before he is. And all those little things do add up. He is going to get on support lines. He is going to be a threat throughout the game. But if you can stop him running a support line three times, you know, three less times, then that's, you know, three less try scoring opportunities that he has. So you have to, I suppose, be careful in how you manage him. But I think it's really important that they have to put some element of their defensive system to try and stop his threat consistently.
Alisson, how important is it this weekend to be, number one, clinical in what they're doing, and B, getting on top of France early on? Because luckily it's only a few months since we actually last played France, and it was that game at the Stade de France at the end of the Six Nations. And I remember looking back at that, and it was the first half Ireland had actually overall played quite well, but they'd let a huge number of chances slip in the 22, and then individual errors allowing France to get in for tries. And Ireland had gone in at halftime in a situation where they had probably been the better team, but ultimately were then chasing the match. And the last thing you want to be doing against this French team is chasing a game in the second half.
Yeah, and I think if you look back at the Wales game, it was errors and mistakes that led to Wales' two tries. So I think it's going to be really important that we don't make these errors against France and give them easy access points into the game, because especially the errors that we made against Wales, where France are so dangerous, is when they transition from defence to attack on that kind of unstructured play, they can be lethal. And I think for us, we have to bring our penalty count down. We were 11 penalties at the weekend. So as I said, we can't give them easy access points. But yeah, you're right about us being clinical and taking those opportunities when they present. Obviously, they're a team that, you know, thrives on flair and thrives on, as I said, that unstructured play. But we have to take our opportunities and be clinical and look at, I suppose, their discipline all around the field in terms of, you know, accuracy, you know, in the breakdown, set piece, like everything, because they are such a dangerous team. But, you know, in that game in October, I think it was now, we did have opportunities to kick ahead. And like, if we can frustrate France and force them into errors and get our opportunities then and actually take them, I think, you know, we can do a job. But obviously they're on, I suppose, they're on form at the moment, and they have such a huge balance, and they have such young guys coming through with target on the World Cup. But I think, you know, France have huge depth within their squad, and they're playing pool, because I suppose if you look at all these young players coming in, they have huge opportunities to play, these guys. They have more teams. And if we look at, you know, a big conversation about, you know, who's going to be the next 10 and why our young lads are not playing as much, but they don't have the same opportunity because they're waiting in the wings at the provinces, where these young guys, you know, we thought Entomac would be and Vakatawa would be huge losses, but they come in and are replaced because these guys in France can play week in, week out. They have more teams. So it's interesting. It just kind of brings up the whole thing about, you know, staying and remaining in Ireland, because if we want to give our young guys a lot of game time, we only got four provinces. And if they go off then somewhere else, you know, potentially off the scene or off the, whatever the word is. So it's an interesting one at that. I kind of gone sidetracked, but something I was thinking about, that these guys, these young players that they are able to bring through are consistently playing, and we can see what they do. So when they're given the opportunity to step up and play for France, they've had a lot of game time, where our guys, you know, they're not playing. The young guys that might potentially be good enough aren't playing too often, because we've only got our four provinces, and if they go away, they're off the radar. So it's an interesting one, because, you know, France have such depth with, you know, an eye on that World Cup. So but they've got huge threats around, you know, Teddy Thomas there, and we're going to nullify his threat also.
A text in here, comment on YouTube, I should say, from Belvo Kid, Johnny. an old Belvo boy, it seems. This is an ideal game for Ireland as they come in as massive underdogs, which suits us, but the only problem is we're missing the real leader to bring fight in Peter O'Mahony. Anytime Ireland are questioned or come in as underdogs, Peter O'Mahony delivers, so he's a massive loss for this game. Johnny, team's going to be named on Friday. Who is going to be wearing the sixth shirt? Or like there might be a rejig of something with a starter from last week in there, but who is going to be replacing him in the pack? You're looking at potentially Rhys Ruddock, Ian Henderson. Does he come into the second row and Tadhg Byrne drops back? Or does Ian Henderson even play in the back row himself? Will Connors, Jack Conan was brought into the squad. There are plenty of options there. Which one makes sense to you most?
For me, I think you bring in Rhys Ruddock. I think Rhys is probably that leadership figure in Leinster, and he's probably undervalued in a sense from an Irish perspective, and probably hasn't got as many caps as his, as his form has probably warranted for me. And I think this is a really good opportunity for someone like him to come in and stamp his physical authority on a game. He has an incredible engine. He's very physical, very abrasive player. I think people probably underestimate his leadership qualities. When Johnny isn't in Leinster, he's captained, numerous occasions, and he is very much a leadership figure within that group. So for me, I think it's just probably a straight swap. And having the likes of Henderson coming off the bench, as you saw the last day, he really added. He probably got a lot more game time than was probably planned. I think someone like him coming in the last 20, 30 minutes can really add something. Again, really abrasive figure coming off the bench, and he'll add to, certainly the ball carries we have. That would be it for me, but I think it's a really good selection conundrum for them because, Henderson going into the second row and Byrne going to six, or Henderson going to six, or moving CJ to six and putting Conan at eight, like they're all realistic and really, valuable changes. So anyone who comes in is going to bring their own game and something extra that the other person doesn't, and I think our back row is probably the most competitive area, and if you were to lose someone in a position, the back row is probably has the one that can really, really cover that area.
Guys, we're running out of time. Before I'm going to touch on Scotland and England and get a couple of Lions potentials as well, but quickly, who's going to win this Sunday?
I think it's going to be a tough one. France for me were the team coming into it that were favourite into the competition, that were favourites. Huge amount of positives from last week, but I think from a playing perspective, Ireland just needs to have a few changes in terms of last week they particularly look at Ringrose, they negated the Welsh line speed, they attacked down the blind side a couple of times, they moved the point of contact. You look at Henshaw's Burns try, where Henshaw goes back against the grain and catches some lazy defenders on the far side of the ruck. France's line speed is relentless, so they have to try and negate that. So attacking down the short sides, Keenan becomes very important for those inside shoulder balls. And then when you do have, a team with the line speed of France, you have to be able to pull the trigger at the right time and be accurate. And I think that's really important. It's going to be a tough, tough task. I think it's going to be tight. And again, it's as always, it's a head over heart a call. But I think it's going to be really, really tight. But unfortunately, I think it might be France by a score. But I'm really hoping that Ireland can bring in the positivity they showed last week, and it'd be the other way around.
In a quick word, Alison, what way is it going to go?
I want to say France, but I have to say France. But hopefully it'll be tighter than we think. I'd be interested to see, actually, I would agree on Johnny's selection calls in the back row. I'd be interested to see would Larmour come in for either of the wingers. I don't know if they'll be given another chance, but potentially I think, Earls and Lowe, I think Lowe made some defensive, one or two defensive reads, poor reads, but Larmour potentially could come in for either of those wingers. But I think it's, we have to call France. I think they're the informed team. I think they're favourites at the moment. But hopefully two of us will be wrong and Ireland will get the win.
Final couple of bits of business before we wrap up. Scotland and Wales is this Saturday as well. How important is this one for Scotland to back up what happened last week, particularly with Wales? Like, they weren't that good against Ireland yesterday, like, in attack, and the injuries they've picked up since then shows just how attritional that game was. Dan Lydiate's gone with an ACL, George North is going to be out, Johnny Williams, so that's their starting centres from last week. Thomas Williams has done his hamstring, and Hallam Amos is missing out on the game as well. That's a third of the starting team from the game against Ireland last week, already gone one round into this. So for Scotland, there's no reason why they should not be winning against Wales this weekend. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's an opportunity for Scotland to springboard themselves into contenders. But to do that, they need to put in a performance like last week and put Wales to the sword. If they do that, then you can class them as potential contenders.
Alison?
Yeah, I would agree. I think Scotland have been knocking at the door, and I think they've got to go out now and back it up. I think they should be beating Wales. I thought Stuart Hogg was really impressive last weekend, whereas Finn Russell, I think he had some shaky moments. So I think he'll be critical, I think, in controlling the game for them. And I know he can be a bit of a maverick, but I definitely think if Scotland can, take away bring huge emotion, obviously beating a very poor England team, which must be said last weekend, but I think they definitely should be going and winning and backing up their performance. And I think they've got that momentum now from, getting a good win. Their confidence will be high. They'll be on a high if they can kind of level that out and go. And I think they should beat Wales. I think, as I said, I think Wales are quite an average team at the moment. They're not the Wales of before. So there's no reason that Scotland shouldn't go and get 2 out of 2 next or this weekend.
And quickly then, before I leave you go, I did ask you to pick out, because everything over the Six Nations is viewed through the Lions prism, I wanted you to pick out a couple of players each that stood out over the weekend. Guys who weren't necessarily like Amaro Itoje, who was kind of like a locked-in selection for the Lions. But if you were to pick out a couple of players from the last week who certainly put themselves up the depth chart a little bit in Warren Gatland's point of view.
Okay, I'm going to pick Ty Byrne just for the fact that I think he had such a great game for Ireland. His carries, his hits, his hitting rooks. I just think he was really, really good. I think he was impressive. He showed the potential that he has. So I suppose he's a bit of a bolter. And then the other, I only picked two, is Cameron Redpath. He's just, a very physical 12, but he's got good skills. And I think for me, they... two that might not have been, that wouldn't have been on the radar when we think of, other performers.
Johnny, you nodded your head there when Alison mentioned Tadhg Byrne. Was that on your list?
Yeah, I had four. It's great minds, Alison. Tadhg Byrne and Redpath. And then I had someone that was, I was surprised it was Van der Merwe on the Scottish wing. I think his power and his finishing ability, certainly jumps up. And for me, someone like Tupou probably put himself back in the shake-up. His tackle on Ringrose at the end, certainly a game saver for Wales, but someone that I think is probably underrated in Sam Warburton's shadow for a long time. So I think he's someone that probably put himself forward again.
Yeah, I think Justin Tipperick, 29 tackles he made the other day. I was listening to the BBC's rugby podcast, and Chris Jones was saying, I think it was Chris Jones, he made the point that Tipperick seems to spend the entire 80 minutes just cleaning up other people's mistakes. I thought it was a really good way of putting it.
Yeah, I think he's top class for me.
All right, well, Johnny and Alison, thanks a million for joining us this morning on the OTB Six Nations show, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Now, that is almost it for this opening episode of this year's Six Nations show. Just going to run through some comments that we've been getting throughout as well. Tim B says, what sort of respect do French teams have for Sexton, do you feel? Is it a worry for them to have too much focus on one player, or does it show how reliant we are on Sexton? Skelly says, where does DuPont rank in terms of scrum halves we've seen? I think Johnny and Alison were pretty emphatic in their in their assessment of Antoine Dupont. The best in the world at the moment is what they said. Old man Willie Boy has written into us on YouTube and says Keenan looks as if he's been an international fullback of 20 or more caps, as did Redpath in the centre for Scotland. I think both agree with that one as well. Keenan just looks so assured. And I think the comments that people have been making about Keenan over the last few weeks in particular that really jump out is just he doesn't seem to make that many mistakes, which is probably something we really undervalued when we had Rob Kearney for those years, as did Cameron Redpath as well. He was excellent for Scotland. And no surprise to hear he was being tipped for a Lions call up there between Johnny and Alisson. Sean Burke, no Cooney, no Carty. What's the Irish obsession with not picking players on form, but other picking them because they play for certain province? Case in point, Jameson Gibson Park. Not so sure. Like, Gibson Park has been excellent for the last few months. And Cooney, I think even by his own admission at the tail end of last season, his form did dip off. Eamon Keane on Facebook says, likely to finish fourth or fifth. Surely it's time to look at changes at 9 or 10. Well, we have had changes at 9. Jameson Gibson-Park has come in, made his first caps last season. We have had Billy Burns coming in, making his first caps in the last few months. It just seems that, I don't know, I think it's people are calling for changes, but they want particular changes. They don't want... they don't want to see people that maybe aren't as fashionable to come in. Changes change, whether it's the change you want or not. Con the Man says, the physical size of the French team compared to Ireland will be shown at the weekend. Ireland have gone back further under Farrell, and Sunday could be the nail in the coffin as Dupont and Thomas run all over the place like headless chickens. Bring in Mark McCall. Mark McCall certainly is someone that does not get the credit he deserves on this island, I would say. Definitely a lot of pressure on Andy Farrell this weekend, and probably the most important game they've played under his under him so far, when you consider this would be 2 defeats out of 2 in the Six Nations, and for the fourth time against England or France. If they were to lose, that would be the fourth time in a row they would have lost to those teams over the course of the last 12, 13 months. On the flip side, though, a win against France this weekend, and all of a sudden, that is a massive statement for his team. So I'd definitely go along with that as probably being the most important game he's had to date. And finally then, I would really like to see Farrell be more adventurous with his selection. Great to see Keenan at full back and when Doris is fit start, but we need to see more, especially at 9 and 10 and with our style and play. And also someone calling, do you think Craig Casey is going to get a game in the Six Nations? Maybe that game against Italy, he might get a run out. I think we're surely going to see him at some point during the competition, but I don't see him usurping Conor Murray anytime soon. Right, before we leave you, just going to run through the fixtures that are on this weekend. This Saturday, we have Italy against France. England hosting Italy, and it looks like England, the speculation is at least that they are going to be bringing George Ford back into their team. They're going to be going with the Ford at 10 and Farrell at Farrell at 12 combination, with Ollie Lawrence dropping out, and they'll have Kyle Sinclair back available again. It looks like he's going to come in for Will Stewart. And Marco Vunipola is also fit. But I think the speculation is that he's going to be coming up onto the bench. But it certainly looks like a stronger England team than was available against Scotland at the weekend. So that's your first game this Saturday, England and Italy at Twickenham at 2:15. Scotland and Wales then, that is a really fascinating one because, as I mentioned, it's a chance for Scotland to really, really back up their performance against England. And if they were to lose, talk about a letdown. If Scotland were to mess that one up, particularly when Wales have so many injuries. As we mentioned, Dan Lydius, Thomas Williams, George North, Johnny Williams and Hallam Amos all missing from the side that beat Ireland last week as well. And then the big one, Ireland against France, 3 o'clock this Sunday afternoon. I'll be at the Aviva for that game, bringing you updates on Off the Ball. But that is it for this Thursday's episode of the Six Nations Show on OTB Sports. If you missed any of it, you can play back on our video streams, or we'll have this podcasted later on the OTB Sports app. A reminder as well, all our rugby coverage is brought to you by Vodafone. Team of us, everyone in. Keep an eye out as well for lots more on OTB this week as we build up to Sunday's game. Alan Quinlan will be on OTB AM tomorrow, and we'll have more build up on the PM shows over the coming days. And as I said, I will be at the Aviva Stadium this Sunday with Andy Dunn, and we'll be in and out of the show all afternoon with updates before and after the game as well. And we'll be back in the same place this day next week. We'll see you then.
The Six Nations Show on OTB Sports Radio.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team.
Team of Us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.